What is the root of why we break God's holy commandments? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Why do people steal? Covetousness. Why do people lie? Covetousness. Why do people commit adultery? They covet somebody else's wife. They covet. All of the commandments are broken when we have that spirit of covetousness.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring profound truth simply stated by beloved pastor and Bible teacher Adrian Rogers. The final commandment in Exodus is, "Thou shalt not covet." Now, God has given us a desire for love and happiness. It's not wrong to want success or victory, for example. Rather, this commandment warns against unlawful desire. Covetousness has an appetite that's never satisfied. Whether it's material possessions or money, power, fame, or status, we've been tricked into believing that newer, bigger, and better will bring us happiness. What is the secret of satisfaction? If you have your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20. We'll be looking at verse 17. Once again, here's Adrian Rogers.
We come today to the 10th commandment, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, Madison Avenue has done a job on Americans, and we all have to admit they have done a good job of giving us all a bad case of the I wants. And we have been told that we cannot be happy unless we have something else that's newer, bigger, better, brighter, shinier, different than what we already have, and it is their job to create needs in us, perceived needs, so we'll go out and buy and buy and buy. We're told, oh, we deserve it, and we need to have it our way. These things, we're told, are going to make us happy. But the truth of the matter is, this desire for more and more is making us unhappy. I mean, literally. Statisticians and survey people have told us that as they've gone out to find out what is bringing about unhappiness, marital unhappiness, and unhappiness in the homes, they find out it's not primarily sex, nor children, nor in-laws, but things, possessions, the attitude toward money. It's very obvious what is happening to us. You know, couples who get married today, they expect to have in 3 years what their parents accumulated in 30 years. And they get it with the false god of credit. And of course, they pay the debt. I'm not talking about paying off the credit. The debt is often divorce, till debt do us part, because they have not learned to live without certain things. They're not content. I want to speak to you today on this subject, the secret of satisfaction. How to have true, honest contentment. How many really, truly contented people and contented homes do you have? We never seem to get enough stuff. One philosopher said something's very true. To whom little is not enough, nothing is enough. To whom little is not enough, nothing is enough. Now, the Bible says, don't covet. Now, what does that mean? To covet means to have an unlawful desire, for that which is not rightfully yours. And covetousness is not limited to money. It could deal with influence, with fame, popularity, power, appearance. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's salary. Don't covet his education. Don't covet his advantages. Don't covet his good looks, his automobile, her dishwasher. Just don't covet what belongs to your neighbor. Now, it's not a command against lawful desire. When God saves you, He doesn't neuter you. He doesn't make you a person without passion. It's not wrong to have ambition, godly ambition. It's not wrong to desire things. It's the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth, and every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. And God knows that you want to love and be loved. You have a God-given desire for friendship and a home and happiness and joy and success and victory and peace. These things are not wrong. It is the unlawful desire that we're going to be talking about. The Bible calls that covetousness. And this command is the last command in this chain of 10 links. And why is it the last one? Because it sums up all of the others. You see, all of the others deal with action, but this one deals with attitude. All of the others deal with deeds, but this one deals with desire. And this is the one that we must have in our hearts. This is the one that deals with the heart. Because until we've dealt with the heart, the rest of the commandments are only rules that we'll find onerous trying to obey. Three things I want you to notice today as we look at the secret of satisfaction. First of all, I want you to see the perplexing problem of covetousness and what a problem it is. And you know why it's such a big problem, folks? I'll tell you, first of all, it's such a deceitful thing. Very few people realize that they're covetous. As a matter of fact, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, he was a great preacher of yesteryear, he said, I've seen thousands of people converted, but I've never seen a covetous person converted. Now, obviously, covetous people do get converted, but what he meant by that, he was saying that tongue-in-cheek. I've never seen anybody say, you know, my problem before I got saved was covetousness. You know, the Bible speaks of a cloak of covetousness. Covetousness is something that none of us think we have. We think that the other person has it. But you know, really, until we find out where the problem is, we're never going to get the solution. We'll never even really admit our own sinfulness. The Apostle Paul was a young Pharisee. Praised, petted, admired, looked up to. He seemed to have it all. He had birth, he had nobility, he had education, he had status, he had learning, he had respect, he had it all. And one day, the Apostle Paul was taking a survey of himself, and he had the Ten Commandments out, and he was checking them off. Thou shalt have no other gods. I don't do that. I just worship Jehovah God. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Why, I certainly wouldn't do that. I'm not an idolater. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Never. Remember the Sabbath day. I always do. Honor father and mother. Yes, yes, yes. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. He was doing fine, he said, until he got to the 10th and the last commandment. And by the way, you can read about this in Romans 7, verse 7. He said, I had not known sin until I got to this one that said, thou shalt not covet. He said, that one wiped me out. That one slew me. That one knocked the props out from under me. Because while I might say I have never done these things, of course, that would be doubtful also. But he couldn't say I never wanted to. And what he was saying is, a desire, I knew that I was a sinner before a righteous and a holy God. That's the way I knew sin, by this 10th commandment that says, thou shalt not covet. You know, outwardly, you can hold it in pretty good. I heard about a preacher was out golfing with some other businessmen and were not preachers. They were a pretty rough bunch. And they were using language that is sometimes heard on the golf course when that little orb doesn't go just right. The preacher had made some pretty bad shots himself, but he seemed to keep his composure. And one of them said, you know, preacher, I admire you. You got it all together. You never say any of those bad words like the rest of us. Preacher said, well, let me be very honest with you. He said, if you'll notice where I spit, the grass never grows again. Sometimes we can hold it in. I mean, it doesn't come to the surface. Maybe you don't take God's name in vain. Did you want to? Maybe you didn't commit adultery, but did you want to? Maybe you didn't steal, but did you want to? Maybe you didn't kill, but did you want to? Did you covet? Did you have an unlawful desire, a desire for something that was not lawful for you to have? You see, it's a very deceiving thing, and folks, it is a very debasing thing. Nothing shows our depravity more like covetousness. Take your Bibles, for example, and turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 7. And let me give you God's x-ray of your heart. Mark 7, verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. A man is not a thief because he steals. He steals because he's a thief. A man is not a liar because he tells lies. He tells lies because he's a liar. These things come out of the heart. Thefts. And then notice this. Covetousness, verse 22. Wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Covetousness was born in you. Now, where did you get it? Well, you were born with a sin nature that you received from your spiritual father, the devil. Jesus said to the unsaved, "You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." Well, Satan was a covetous person. He coveted the throne of God. That's how he became the devil, wanting what was not his. He said, "I will be like the Most High God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." That, in plain language, is covetousness. That's how the devil became the devil. And all of those of us who are born with that sinful nature now because of the sin of Adam and the nature that we inherit from our father, the devil, we do the lust, the desires, the covetousness of the devil. When you were a child, something like this may have happened. You were sitting in the corner of the room, a little two-year-old, and you were surrounded with about 15 toys. Your mother had a guest, a neighbor. She brought her little baby over so the two of you could play and they could talk and have a cup of tea. So there you are, Throckmorton, in this corner, and here's Alfonso over here. And so she sets little Alfonso down, and Throckmorton's over there playing with 14 toys. That's you. And Alfonso, he just has one. But Throckmorton sees that Alfonso has one, so he leaves his 14 and comes over here and bops him on the head to take that one. Is that not true? That is the way children are. I hate to tell you this, but little children are selfish. Their first words are me, mine. Right after daddy and mama is me and mine. And their first movements are this way, toward their mouth, and their instincts is to hold on to what they get. That is nature. Now, it's kind of humorous when it's a child. But folks, when he gets to be a grown man, it is not very funny. Covetousness is a very debasing thing. It's an octopus that wraps itself around your soul. Charles Kingsley said this, perceptive words, listen to them. If you wish to be miserable, think about yourself, about what you want, what you like, what respect people ought to pay you. And then to you, nothing will be pure. You will spoil everything you touch. You will make misery for yourself out of everything good. You will be as miserable and wretched as you choose. Just be self-centered. But that's the way we are, and that self-centeredness, we call it covetousness. I was reading the Charlotte Observer, an interesting article in the Charlotte Observer, the title, "The Time of the Living Dead." And what happened is this, that a reporter from the Charlotte Observer had gone to Duke University's business school, the Fuqua School of Business, and he found out what the MBAs there, those who are studying for master's degree in business, what they wanted, what their ambitions, what their goals were. As a matter of fact, the school had these young students to write out their goals, their ambitions, their aspirations. And with few exceptions, here's what they were: money, power, and things. And they wanted very big things. They wanted things like vacation homes, expensive foreign automobiles, yachts, airplanes. And their primary concern was with their career and the growth of their financial portfolio. Their personal plans contained little room for family, for intellectual development, for spiritual growth, for social responsibility, or even more effective management. The Charlotte Observer quoted a psychologist, Eric Fromm. This psychologist, looking at the people who identify themselves with things and they think that their life consists of the abundance of the things they possess, he asked this penetrating question: if I am what I have and what I have is lost, then who am I? That's the reason in the Great Depression people were jumping off buildings, because they equated who they were with what they had, and when it was lost, there was nothing left. If you want to see what you really own and who you are, add up everything that you have that money can't buy and death can't take away. Then you know where your real wealth is. You see, this covetousness, it's so deceptive, it is so depraving, and it is so destructive. It'll destroy you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Listen carefully. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Now, that's what I'm trying to say in this whole message. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. That you You didn't bring it with you, and you can't take it with you. Now here's verse 8. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You got something to wear and something to eat, that's all you need. You say, what about a house? Well, Jesus slept out of doors sometimes. Food and clothes is really basically all that you have to have. But now look in verse 9. But they that will be rich. Underscore the word will. The word will means that you have determined to be rich. That is your goal. You have set your heart, your mind, on being rich. Now listen to what God says. They that will to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, there's our word, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The very thing they desired did not bring them joy, did not bring them happiness, did not bring them peace. It afflicted them with many sorrows. Now that is absolutely demonstrable today. You could say that the love of money is the mother of all sins. It is the root of all kinds of evil. Never, ever, never, ever, ever, ever tell your child, sweetheart, make all the money you can just so you make it honestly. That's often what you hear at a graduation exercise. Make all the money you can, just be sure you make it honestly. No, no. If you're making all the money you can, then you're making money when you ought to be doing something else. You're making money when you ought to be sleeping. You're making money when you ought to be spending time with your wife, with your 10-year-old boy. You're making money when you ought to be fishing. You're making money when you ought to be soul winning, praying, attending church, or whatever. But if you have a desire to be rich, then everything else must go. No man can serve two masters. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Either God is first or mammon is first. You cannot serve both God and mammon. And when you say, I will be rich, you have set up an idol in your heart, and that idol is money, and that causes you to break all the other 9 commandments. For example, the first 2 deal with no other gods. I am the Lord thy God. Don't have any other god before me. Don't make any graven images. Well, the Bible calls covetousness idolatry. You've broken those 2. The Bible says don't take God's name in vain. But how often do people misuse and abuse the name of God and claim to be Christians and put God in second place and therefore take God's name in vain? In vain do they worship me, Jesus said. We break that commandment when we have another god in our heart. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But rather than working 6 days and resting 1, we work 7 days. Why? Covetousness. Why do people steal? Covetousness. Why do people lie? Covetousness. Why do people commit adultery? They covet somebody else's wife. They covet. All of the commandments are broken when we have that spirit of covetousness. And that's the reason the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. When you have this covetousness down in your heart, when you have this unlawful desire, then your life is bent and broken. As I say, it is an octopus that will wrap itself around your soul and literally drag you down into hell. You say, Pastor, all right, listen to the scripture. Ephesians 5, verse 5, for this you know, that no whoremonger, you say, thank God I'm not a whoremonger, nor unclean person, there he's talking about a pervert, well, I'm not that, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. God links covetousness with whoremongering, perversion, and idolatry. Don't think this is a small sin. As I say, this is the mother of all the rest of them. This is the root of all of the rest of them. Now, there is what we call a perplexing problem. It is there. But now, let's talk not about the problem, but a proper perspective. This covetousness, how do we deal with this? Well, we've got to back off. We've got to back off. We've got to get another perspective on this whole thing. We need to understand who we are and what we have. me give you a great, great verse on covetousness. It's found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, and it really is dealing with the secret of satisfaction and the answer to covetousness. Listen to it. Let your conversation, and by the way, the word conversation means lifestyle here. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Now, that's just a restatement of the 10th commandment. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness. Now, here's the next thing. And be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You will always be covetous until you learn contentment. Because all of us need satisfaction. And covetousness is just trying to find satisfaction in the wrong place. So let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Well, now that's a very interesting thing. What do we have? What do we have that ought to content us? Ernest Hemingway, brilliant writer. And I've been entertained by Ernest Hemingway. But he died of suicide. Let me tell you what Ernest Hemingway said. And now you would say, this man, he had it. I mean, he's brilliant, he's witty, praised, adored, lionized. But he died by his own hand. And here's what he wrote. Life is just a dirty trick. A short journey from nothingness to nothingness. There's no remedy for anything in life. Man's destiny in the universe is like a colony of ants on a burning log. Killed himself. He said, it'll make sense. It's a joke and a bad joke. Now you think about the man who doesn't know God. And he gets all of these things. And there's still a hole in his soul. And he says they don't satisfy. I'm getting older. I'm getting sicker. All I can look forward to is a hole in the ground to rot and decay. There's no answer. There's no meaning. From nothing to nothing. It's a shame he didn't know Jesus, isn't it? It's a shame he had not found satisfaction and joy and meaning in the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have a perspective that we have.
And with that, we'll conclude today's portion of this important message. Make sure you're with us Monday for part two. And if you have questions about who Jesus is or what he means to you, how to surrender your life fully to him, go to our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources and materials, a video from Pastor Rogers that can answer questions you may have about your faith. Again, go to lwf.org/radio and click the Discover Jesus link at the top of the page. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message in its entirety, you can call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD to order The Secret of Satisfaction. This message is also part of a powerful series, A Perfect 10 for Homes That Win. If you'd like the complete collection, all 10 insightful messages, call that number 1-877-LOVE-GOD or go online to lwf.org/radio. Or you can write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Well, thanks for studying with us in God's Word. Do you struggle with this issue of covetousness? Remember, as Adrian Rogers said, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Don't miss the powerful conclusion of The Secret of Satisfaction coming up Monday, right here on Love Worth Finding. Well, if you haven't picked it up already, our mission at Love Worth Finding is to share the profound truth of the gospel so simply that anyone who listens can understand. That's why we're proud to tell you about our newest book, His Story. In this collection of 8 powerful messages, Adrian Rogers shares the largest pieces of the Bible story from start to finish in a simple and clear way. Learn about God's purpose and plan from Genesis to Revelation in this insightful new book, His Story. For more information or to receive a copy for a gift of any amount, go to our online store at lwf.org/radio. Or you can call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Thanks for your continued support of Love Worth Finding.